If I had $1 million, my answer to the question would be, I'd buy an air conditioner that doesn't break down every 3 months. 84 degrees in the house last night, not fun. The gospel lesson this morning does come from the 16th chapter of Luke. I want to share with you verses 10 through 13 this morning. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious, loving God, speak to us now. For we, your children, have gathered here this morning. And we do so with the hope and the expectation and indeed the faith that we will hear the word of the Lord proclaimed in our midst. But that can only happen, O God, if you come upon us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that by your grace and by your grace alone, the words which are read and shared at this time would be for us this day your living word. For you are the living God. Speak to us now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I invite you to stand in body or spirit this morning for the reading of the gospel passage. It is a short passage. Hear now the word of the Lord. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is one of those be patient and bear with me sermons. It may take me just a moment to get where I want to go, but we will get there hopefully. How many of you have seen the vanity license plates that shows the house divided? All right? You know what I'm talking about? The one that, and I'm not picking on the Ingridsons, but y'all are the prime example, the Auburn and Alabama plates, right? Ole Miss and Mississippi State, right? You know what I'm talking about. We get torn sometimes. If you need to develop or create your own plate, there is a website that will let you put whatever schools you want for your vanity. You can even pick Hooterville University and Pixley State if you want. All right? But the reality in that is that it's really, you're not torn, but there are two people in the house or in the family that are torn, right? Because if we're honest, most of us, we have a preference. And if you don't have a preference on something, it means it's because it's not that important to you. Correct? You're not that passionate about it. For all my sports illustrations, my kids tune me out because that's not what they are passionate about. But the things that you are passionate about should sort of guide you. They should shape you. They should help direct the decisions that you make. Which makes me sort of wonder, what are we passionate about? And are we truly passionate about God? The passage from Luke's gospel is clear. It's about as clear as you can get. Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. It simply is not possible. You cannot serve God and wealth. And yet, how many of us, when Donya asked the question, what would you do with $1 million? How many of us immediately said, oh, I'd give it away, I would help folks, I would make the world a better place, or I'd buy myself an air conditioner so I can be comfortable. Confession, it's good for the soul. We say we're not sure oftentimes what we're supposed to do. We seem to be torn, facing decisions. And I don't want to trivialize how there are times in life there are hard decisions to be made. Don't get me wrong. But there's not nearly as many difficult decisions in life as we make them out to be, I don't think. I don't think. Because a lot of decisions, I would assert, have already been made. That we have already decided, or at least we claim we have. The temptation between serving God or wealth shouldn't be a temptation at all. The decision on whether or not you're going to help someone shouldn't be that hard either. We still have the hymnals in the pew. I don't know when, we don't pull them out very often. I don't know how many of you pull them out to sing when we actually do sing from the hymnal, or you just follow along on the screen, but pull out the hymnal, please, in the pew in front of you. Turn to page 34. Very top of the page. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do. If you are a member of the church at some point in your life, you said I do to that question. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do, right? You've answered the question. So when the situation arises, there really should be no divided loyalty about what your answer should be when you are confronted with evil or injustice. Yesterday, I had the honor of attending a memorial service in the morning and then a celebration of an upcoming wedding in the evening up in Dyersburg. When I do a wedding, when I officiate at a wedding, one of the things that I will often say in my homily to the bride and groom is that there will come times in their marriage when the partner that you are gazing lovely into their eyes in front of the congregation and before God and saying your vows, when that partner is not going to look quite so glamorous or beautiful or lovely, right? And there are going to come times when, while the one you have chosen, the one you have given vows to, so often brings a warmth to your heart and a smile to your face, there will be days when that's not what they bring to your heart, right? Can I get an amen from those that are married? Right? But I tell the couple that they have already made the decision about how they will react when those days come. Now, I know I don't want to trivialize it, but theoretically, in our vows, we have said, we have decided we're going to react in love, even if we don't feel like it. And am I the only one that there are days, man, I just don't feel like it? Right? Days that I am frustrated with folks, when I am upset by the choices they have made that I would hopefully never make. And yet, the call of Jesus is to love and to forgive. Our decisions in this world, I don't think are supposed to be this hard. I don't think we're supposed to struggle quite as much as we do. We're supposed to be making a difference. We are supposed to be making a difference. And if we are passionate about God, I think we can. Which brings me back to the question, are we passionate about God? Diedrich Bonhoeffer said years ago, back in the mid to late 30s, 1930s, your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, to all evil, to all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and the poor. We've made our decision, haven't we? Or are we going to try to play that game of serving two masters? And Jesus lifts up the idea of wealth as a competing master for our loyalty. But I would argue that there are others. There are others that we are tempted to give primacy over God. I think one of them for a lot of us, myself included, is the God of comfort. The God of comfort. You know, it'd take too much effort, too much time and energy to do what God is asking me to do. We'll let someone else take care of that. The God of family. Family comes first and foremost. Family must come before all else. No, family must not come before God. Or the God of religion itself. Where our traditions, our customs, our practices must be held on to at all costs. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others, said, "The only clear line I draw these days is this. When my religion tries to come between me and my neighbor, I will choose my neighbor. Jesus never commanded me to love my religion." You hear that one? Jesus never commanded us to love our religion. We only have one God to serve. And it's the God revealed in Jesus the Christ. And anything else is an idol that we have created. And I know that there are lots of good things in the world, and there are lots of things that we should cherish and encourage and support. But none of that must ever come before God in his directive for us to be disciples of Jesus the Christ and to live our lives accordingly. Are we passionate about it? Are we giving ourselves completely to our one true master? I found it interesting. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine on Facebook, she passed along a post from someone else who had composed it. And the post was about how they didn't understand why people were mad at Christians, that our faith is our faith, what we're doing isn't harmful to you. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't make any difference to you. And my thought was, it better. If it's the Christian faith, it better. Because if your faith is not impacting anyone else, then your faith is not in the true God of Jesus the Christ. We are called by God. We are blessed by God so that we might in turn be a blessing to this world. To make a difference in this world. And we should hope and pray that the difference we make is for the glory of God. And that it truly does help our neighbors, our sisters, our brothers. That we are, through our witness, through our words, we are helping reveal the kingdom of God upon this earth. So beware. Beware of those folks that my faith is mine. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't impact you. Because they have a very poor understanding of what the Christian faith is supposed to be about. I worry that we are divided more so than we actually want to admit. I don't mean culturally or politically or within our choice of sports teams, but within our own hearts, that we are divided to a certain degree about just how fully we want to give our heart to God. Because that's tough. That's tough. There are a host of things that would compete for our time and our attention and for our energy and, yes, for our money. There are a host of things. But Jesus says we can only have one master. Only one. My prayer for us as a congregation, as disciples of Jesus, is that we will never forget who our master is. And we must serve no other. You can't serve both. Only one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning comes from the Korean Methodist Church.